Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No.
You ever going to bed?
No.
Well, I ain't sleepy either.
Good, now have a drink.
You're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
To the death, I accept.
Good, then pour the wine.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape and the lifestyle it creates. Now, here's your host for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
Very interesting.
But not half as much fun as a May Wine Festival. Especially when May brings the bottle.
Welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson, your favorite Chardonnay sipping diva, and you are listening to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory. All the vine, all the time, everything you ever wanted to know about wine but were afraid to ask. That's what we're here for. We are your media resource to help you out with that annoying and occasionally difficult little grape. We can tell you all about him and give you his life story. That is what we're here for. And yes, I am positive. I am upbeat. I am back on the East Coast. I have actually spent some time recently on the West Coast in the home of aforementioned grape and had a lot of fun doing it. But I have to admit, it's nice to be back on my side of the world. It's always interesting when you go to the West Coast, and no offense to my friends out there, but their idea of winter, they're like, oh my gosh, it's cold, it's wet, it's rainy, it's 56 degrees, and I'm just so happy that I don't have to have a jacket, a boot, umbrella, anything out there, and I'm thinking, my gosh, it's spring. So it's certainly refreshing. Go out there.
And they're a little squeamish at 56, huh?
They are. And it was actually great because I think unlike the rest of the country, it's been a rough winter for a lot of us. And to go out to the West Coast and to see forsythia blooming and see daffodils coming up and to see cherry trees blooming, it proved to me that, yes, hope is around the corner. It is going to be spring soon. And there is, I don't know, a chance for change. I know I advocate seasons. I like having seasons. But I had enough of this one. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I have. I've never been so ready for spring in my life.
And so it's just cruel. I know, was it Punxsutawney Phil? He saw his shadow?
Yeah, I don't care. He's a rat. So, I mean, our weather is predicted by a rat.
Well, our government's run by him. What do you expect?
Well, that's true.
So whatever token you want to take, does it really matter?
By the way, can I make a musical announcement?
It depends on what kind of announcement you're talking about. How musical are you talking here, kid? Is anyone in the booth in you?
I don't mean one of those musical announcements. Okay. I mean one of these. All of the bumper music that we will feature on today's show are songs that people have suggested to us that either remind them of wine or have wine in the title or indicate wine.
Oh, wow.
Or champagne.
You got motivated while I was gone.
I did some work around here while you were gone.
Oh, the peace and quiet probably advocated
It did help. Yeah.
That and listening over the shows that Laura and I ran by ourselves scared the hell out of you?
You know, those were strange little shows.
And listen, a special apology goes out. I know a lot of you were kind enough to send music in, but I realize now that I have not mailed out the Wine Crush shirts yet, but it's not entirely my fault. It seems like everyone who wrote in wanted larges, and we were out of larges, so they should be coming in at the end of the week. So James particularly comes to mind, and a couple other of you that I owed shirts to, they will be in the mail this weekend, assuming our lovely printer gets me the larges back.
Very good.
So there we go. I've done my public service apology, which that for the record, there are people that have waited years to hear an apology from me, but have not.
Yes.
So part of being out on the West Coast and talking about spring has led me into my wine recommendations today because I'm starting to feel kind of springy and a little bit lighter at heart. And my white recommendation today, I know I have probably recommended this wine on the show. There's just something about the style of it that really speaks to me about great upcoming weather, about outdoor events, about fruits, about vegetables. Cambria Chardonnay out of Santa Maria, Southern California. This wine is just, it's vicious, it's liquid, it's beautiful, it's liquid gold. It's got great flavors of melon, of banana, of all that tropical fruit that I know a lot of times during the heavier winter months, November and December, we can't really bring ourselves to really experience that banana concept. But I had a glass of this the other day, and it was just outstanding and let me know that the hope's around the corner. The new vintage of 2009 Cambria Catherine Chardonnay, definitely recommend picking up that bottle. It will put a spring in your step. As far as reds go, yes, I am still on the idea that it is time to get away from the heavier things. Heavy coat, heavy bouts of snow, heavy bouts of depression that go along with the winter months. And Erath Pinot Noir. Now, I'm talking just the basic Erath Oregon Pinot Noir. I had a bottle of this and the opportunity to share it with some people the other day. And as much as I like the heavy red wines that can go with the grilled meats and all the big cassoulets and casseroles that we tend to rely on in the winter months, this was sprightly. It was pretty in the glass. It had that great berry flavor to it, had a great palate on it, and even had the great earthiness that you expect without being so heavy that if you worried if you poured it down the front of you, you'd never get your clothes clean. It was wonderful. So your wine recommendation today for the reds is Erath Pinot Noir out of Oregon, and your white recommendation is Cambria Catherine Chardonnay. Now, it's interesting for me to take the stand of picking out wines and recommending them every week, almost to the point where I dare say I could be a critic. But to me, what defines a critic? I think if I were going to be a critic, I'd have to pick wines out that say, oh my God, I tasted that and it was God awful. Well, I'm going to have some help on that today because we have Mike Howells. He is the founder of FindWine.com, and I believe we did a small blurb on this on the show a while back, but Find Wine announced a consumer wine critic competition. And what they did is consumers will have the opportunity to submit tasting notes and reviews of one of Find Wine's wines, with the winning tasting note writer being appointed as the Find Wine wine critic for a three-month period. So we're going to have Mike, give us an idea of who applied to this, who is, by now I would imagine they have found someone that actually won the contest, and I want to find out what someone looks for in a wine critic. We talk about it with regards to the Wine Spectator, or Robert Parker, or Wine Enthusiast, or all the different decanters or other magazines that are out there, and I've advocated always to find a wine critic that you align your palate with. No one's always right, no one's always wrong, but if you find someone who likes the same styles that you do, it's advantageous and it can steer you in the right direction. But to randomly find someone like Find Wine or findwine.co.uk is going to do that can come in and give tasting notes, what are they looking for? And I have so many questions, so I'm looking forward to having Mike on the show, and I'm sure it'll be an interesting way to delve into things. Now, Kent, would you say that we are critics here on the Wine Crush?
We kind of are.
How so?
Well, I mean, you are, definitely.
I'm not critical of wine.
Every day, you just did it. You just gave your wine recommendations. You gave thumbs up to a couple of bottles of wine.
But I never give thumb down.
Well, that's true.
So does that make me a critic? So this is actually the heart
and
soul
of
debate.
I've heard you do thumbs down.
That's usually just to the French. It's not anything in general.
I've heard you use the word swill.
Yes, but not on air.
Yes, you have.
I have not.
I can go back and find five shows where you've used the word swill.
Well, occasionally I might have my moments. All but right. Past that, I don't drink wines and say, whatever you do, don't drink this. It's terrible. Now, my question is, can someone truly be a wine critic today? Are they allowed to do that? Is it slanderous? Will they get a lawsuit slapped against them if they come out and say, whatever you do, don't buy Lawson wine, it's terrible?
No more so than you would if you were a Broadway critic. They don't get sued.
But can they? And so,
no.
Is there truth in advertising? Can you trust your critic? Are they allowed to really tell you what they think?
Absolutely. We want them to.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
We
do. Show, well, okay. If you say so, that's fine.
All right.
So we will definitely get Mike on that topic. But since I haven't had a chance lately, I have saved us a couple of news articles, and I've got some things that are just fascinating to me that we're going to talk about here on The Crush today. And of course, as always, as we get on topic and we bring up some news articles, or especially something like we just introduced, What Defines a Critic, we do want your interaction. We want you reaching out to us. You can do that a number of ways. 877-4-CRUSH-1 is our wine line, and of course, that's always entertaining. You get to talk to Kent, and anytime someone gets to interact with Kent, they certainly know the definition of a critic or not. You can reach out to us at lauralawson@winecrush.com, which I shall remind you comes directly to my BlackBerry and gives me great entertainment during the day. But also, don't forget you can friend us on Facebook, and that is Laura Berg Lawson and the Wine Crush Radio. Reach out to us there. There's some great forums and great blogs going on. And of course, it is certainly a very candid, open conversation where people have the luxury of saying things they can't necessarily say on the radio. Right, Kent? Because there are things we can't say on the radio, regardless of whether we're critics.
Yes. I have to snip those things out when you say them all the time.
Yes, I know. Yeah, everyone out there really should have great pity on Kent, depending on what day of the week it is or what's going on around here. But he can spend up to 30 minutes in the booth just playing with a little beep button. Bleep this, bleep, 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 bleep.
Yep.
so much. Yeah, very funny. Very, very funny. I don't appreciate that one bit. All right. You want to use it for real? Want to try it? All right. Talking about news stories regardless, we're talking about 2011. We're looking forward to the fact that people are drinking wine. We were talking about resurgence in the economy. I have finally seen the Punxsutawney Phil that acknowledges to me that, yes, people are drinking again. This comes off Decanter.com. LVMH Champagne in Short Supply. That is a Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy. They are the kind of people that bring us Dom Perignon, Moet, Clicquot, Krug, the couple of just the high-end dynamic champagnes. And what they are reaching out and saying, we have found ourselves in a situation where supply and availability become short. You may remember back in 2009, all the papers said it was a champagne crisis. Right now, because champagne's last two harvests have been restricted, there is seriously a shortage of champagne. So for those of you who just got through Valentine's Day and you had that great bottle of bubbly, if you're expecting to have another one, I strongly suggest you go back to the store you bought it from and try and pick another one up, because from every indices and every indication we are seeing, we're going to have a tough time getting champagne by the time we get through midsummer. And I personally find that tragic, but it'll be interesting to see if it's something that hangs true or if it's just a marketing ploy at this point. We're going to take a small break right here. When we return, we are going to touch base on some calls from the wine line and, of course, your emails and, more importantly, my news commentary, which is bound to be entertaining.
Laura Lawson's got more Wine Crush in just a moment.
She had kisses sweeter than wine.
You've been hearing and seeing good things about Z-Max Micro Lubricant everywhere, and you're curious, what is Z-Max Micro Lubricant? Well, it's the only pure micro lubricant that penetrates into the metal of your engine to clean out deposit buildup, improve gas mileage, and your engine's performance. Go ahead, get a bottle, add Z-Max to your oil and gas. It's easy to do. Get Z-Max at a retail performance partner near you, and you'll experience a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. Z-Max it.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactive works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactive and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactive Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactive's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Don't let your car or truck turn into a clunker. Z-Max it. Z-Max, added to your oil and your gas tank, can clean internal engine components and fuel systems, reduce engine wear, and give you better mileage. Z-Max is a pure micro lubricant that gives you a smoother, stronger running, better performing engine. These are some big claims, but they've all been backed up by some of the most rigorous testing in the industry. Z-Max Micro Lubricant, available at your favorite auto parts retailer.
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I might look like an adult, like a person who could possibly be a parent, but I have no idea how to talk like one. And everyone knows that if you want to be a parent, you have to sound good when you say things like, "Don't make me turn this car around," or "Because I said so," or "Don't make me come back there." I don't even really know what those things mean, but I know that I actually believed my parents when they said them to me. How did they manage to sound so convincing? Here we go. "Don't make me come back there." Oh, no, that's not tough enough at all. Kids can sense weakness. "Don't make me come back there." Ooh, yeah, that's better. In fact, that kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to listen to you practice your dad voice. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Honey, put this on top of the minivan.
We're only going for 2 weeks. You want me to back the kitchen sink, too?
Well, is there room?
Hey, you guys, you going on vacation?
Who's that?
I don't know.
Because we're planning on robbing your house tonight.
All right, I'm calling an alarm service.
Wouldn't it be great if you could be warned of life's risks? If you have diabetes, you can. There's a simple blood test called A1C that can help measure your risk of complications from diabetes. Why is it important? Because more than 600 people every day die from diabetes and its complications. If your A1C is above 7, your doctor can show you how to lower it. If you have diabetes, know your risk. Know your A1C. Ask your doctor, or for more information, go to www.diabetesa1c.org or call 1-877-TEST-A1C. Brought to you by the American Diabetes Association, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation International, and the Ad Council.
It was a very good year.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. And for those of you that just flipped through the station thinking you had found your grandfather's station, just remember that Kent said we are using the songs that you gave us. So if you found that boring, just remember whose fault it was. It's not mine for a change.
Sinatra could never be boring. No, no, no.
Well, I wouldn't go boring. He is classic, but wow, I wasn't sure where to actually drop off a nap, run out in the hall, lay down on the couch, or what we were supposed to do.
You got the association, though. It was a very good year. What do we talk about in wines? It was a very good year.
I like that.
Yeah.
Isn't there actually wine in that song, though?
There might be. I'm not sure.
So let me get this straight. Everyone went to all the trouble of submitting songs, and we had a bunch of them before it was said and done. So basically all you're doing is pulling the opening of the songs and playing them, not the one reference.
And letting you guess.
Okay.
I don't have to sit through the whole song.
I should have known you didn't work that hard when
we were gone.
Silly, silly, silly me. Well, continuing on the idea of these great news stories that I have come across and haven't shared with you, I do like to pick on certain magazines, but I'll leave this one alone. This study fascinates me. Now, we have talked about studies on and off here on The Crush about people wasting their money, about people studying things that really have no relevance. But this one just really takes the cakes. Wine brand has little importance to consumer choices, say UK study. Only 3% of UK consumers opt for the brand of a wine over any other factor, according to new figures from the Wilson Drinks report. The report goes on to say that, surprisingly, when people go to the store, they generally know if they want a red or a white wine, or if they want a Chardonnay, Cabernet, or Merlot. What the first thing they do to pick a wine is to pick a varietal or to pick a color. I don't know about you, but that doesn't really surprise me. If you're walking up and down the aisle of a Mega Mart, you aren't there just looking for the name Kendall Jackson. If you're there just for a brand, especially in Kendall Jackson state, you're going to find 16 different types of wine that have Kendall Jackson on them. So my guess is if you go into that Mega Mart, you're looking for a Chardonnay already. You're looking for a white wine already. You're looking for a red wine already. And to me, that's when a brand name would kind of help you out. At that point, once you've narrowed it down to white or red, then brands might apply. Kent, you're the novice wine drinker, yes or no?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, have you ever gone to your local, well, in your case, the local corner gas station and asked them, hey, listen, I want Boone's Farm, and not caring what flavor, color, or whatever it is?
That's right. Give me a dry Boone's Farm. That's what I always say. Yeah, no, I always know. I know red or white when I go in the store, and I know kind of, I'm looking for Chardonnay, you know.
It fascinates me that people spend money on surveys and research like this.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, here's a thought. If you're going to spend that money doing the research, why don't you go ahead, get a group together, poll them. Do you drink red or white? And once you get that far, then ask them, is it brand? Is it label? Is it varietal? Then at that point, I might give you a little credence to go ahead and spend that cash.
That's right. Or just get your friends together, ask them, save the money, buy a couple of cases of wine after that. You know, why not?
I don't know. So, yes, that's your stupid wine news for today. There are people out there that do sillier things than we do. Well, as I told everybody, I am just coming back from the West Coast, and I was fortunate enough to spend some classic time up in Sonoma, and I forget how much I do love Sonoma. Occasionally on the show, we will talk about Napa Valley, we'll talk about bar hopping on Highway 29, but when it comes down to it, as far as relaxing, as far as kicking back, enjoying the scenery, enjoying the people, Sonoma is truly farm country. It is refreshing. It is nice. People are excited to see you. It's not all the hustle and bustle in the tasting rooms of people elbowing you out of the way. You've got great little town squares if you want to go do the tasting rooms there and hang out with people and talk about things. So Sonoma was very, very refreshing. And the point of that is to lead into the latest email I have. And this email is from Laura. I like the name. I appreciate that. Laura, what is the difference between Sonoma and Sonoma Coast? I see these oftentimes on Chardonnays. I see them on Pinot Noirs. But Pat's Price, I don't see much difference between the two. Is Sonoma Coast an AVA and does it make a difference? Well, if you can remember, we talked about the fact that now if you're in Russian River, if you're in Alexander Valley, if you're in Dry Creek and you're putting this on your wine bottle, you're going to have to put Sonoma on it. This all factors into this. Sonoma Coast for ages used to be just high end, predominantly very expensive Chardonnay and Pinot Noirs. Because for those of you who want to know where Sonoma Coast is, get on Highway 1, go north of Bodega Bay, go north of Jenner. And as you look at the right and look at those mountains as you're on Highway 1 and wonder how could anything live up there with the wind whipping off, it is the hills and valleys where Sonoma Coast is. Great wineries such as Flowers are up there. And generally when you saw Sonoma Coast on a label, you were looking at some pretty serious land, some great production, and some great fruit. Sonoma Coast now extends literally all along the coast of Sonoma. And a lot of people are still doing some great, great juice up there, but they finally realize that even though that land is very difficult to farm, it's very difficult to get grapes to grow, and it's very difficult to deal with the elements, there are some amazing things come out of it. So yes, Sonoma and Sonoma Coast are definitely different appellations. Sonoma can take care of the whole county. Sonoma Coast just pretty much literally takes care of the coast up Highway 1. So I hope that answers that question. All right, we're going to take a break right now, but when we get back, we are going to have Mr. Howe help us out and figure out exactly what a wine critic is.
Newsflash. Finally, there's something conservatives and liberals can agree on. Gold. For thousands of years, gold has united mankind regardless of race, religion, or politics. Gold conserves wealth from financial uncertainty, a higher cost of living, and higher taxes. Yet gold also offers liberal benefits, such as growing in value by 300% since 2001. In fact, gold transcends left-right politics because its value is based on ultimate economic truth and substance rather than symbolic political promises. So, whether you're a conservative, liberal, or an independent, gold should be a part of your portfolio and family legacy. Call now 800-932-5146. That's 800-932-5146. Request their free 2010 DVD, CD, and Economic Realities Report. Call 800-932-5146 and ask about creating a gold IRA today.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beech? Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air? Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
We are talking about our world today. Oh, and someone's on the line.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline.
Welcome, Jacqueline. How old are you? You sound so young.
I'm 8.
Oh, wow. I assume you're a student, right?
Yes, from Jefferson Elementary. And I have a question.
Sure. And what's your question?
We all know the Earth has 7 continents that currently carry 193 countries. Those continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that the vast majority of our planet, 71%, is comprised of water. Taking into consideration man automatically adapts to environmental conditions, why is it that I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn upon the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov.
I'm Laura Lawson, and Kent, I have to admit, you got me totally stumped on. I got nothing.
This is the beginning of a song called God of Wine. That's what that's called.
You couldn't have cut it down enough never mind.
He never says it.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's a listener request.
Fair enough.
All right. Fair enough.
Let's get to the important things. Right now, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Mr. Mike Howells. He is the founder of FineWine.com, and he is joining us from the UK today. Mike, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi there.
It is so nice to have you on the show. It's fun. Anytime we get to do transatlantic phone calls, it's always fun to put the United States and the UK and get us together and see what kind of trouble we can get into.
Great stuff, kid.
Now, finewine.com. What is finewine.com? Let our listeners know a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, it's actually findwine.co.uk, the first thing to say, probably. Yeah. And basically, we're a wine retail website in the UK, which is trying to make wine as simple and easy and accessible for our customers as possible. So the main focus of the site is that we only sell 54 wines at one time, which are all categorized by style and by price. So you essentially pick one of our 9 different styles, you pick the price that you want to pay, and then that's the wine we recommend to you. And we're always looking to buy interesting bin ends and different things from around the world, which our customers just trust that we will replace wines with other more interesting and different wines as well.
Well, it's kind of a novel concept. You know, God forbid someone gets to come in your store and say, this is what I want, this is what I pay, and someone gives them a straight answer.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, I mean, the idea sort of came from really, I mean, the fact that, I mean, me and the chap I set it up with used to work in a wine shop, and the majority of people come in and they say, look, we like Sauvignon Blanc and we want to spend about £8. You know, what do you recommend? And we just sort of thought, well, how can we recreate that online? How can we make it that easy for people? Instead of, you know, most consumers seem to stand in a supermarket or in a wine store with 200-300 wines in front of them and just don't actually know what they're looking for, really.
No, they just stare at the shelves like a deer in a headlight, saying, yeah, hopefully one of these is going to fall off the shelf and land at my feet.
Exactly, yeah. And the other problem is, you know, a lot of the time they end up picking the one that's on special offer, so half price or anything like that, which doesn't do the wine trade any favours at all. And so what we're trying to do is encourage people to, you know, pick things for the right reasons and pick wines they actually want to drink, and then also hopefully learn a bit about wine at the same time.
Well, see, that's perfect. And one of the joys of having you on the show today, it goes to the idea that wine is truly a worldwide instance. It's a worldwide commodity because all of us are having the same problem no matter where we are. There's too many choices and too many selections at too many price points without really a guiding hand behind it. So,
absolutely, yeah.
Question for you. How we found you. You had a consumer wine critic competition where you reached out to everyone and had people submit tasting notes to become one of your critics. How has the response been on that? And tell us how you even came up with that idea.
Well, it's interesting, actually. I mean, the competition is very much still running as we speak. And it's been hugely successful so far. Basically, what we said was we wrote a blog saying we will give away 40 bottles of wine for free of a particular Australian Shiraz that we sell. We said we'll give these bottles away completely for free on the basis that whoever receives them invites five friends around to share it with them, and each of those friends has to write a tasting note about the wine. The idea being that we wanted to introduce a way for customers to talk to customers more about wine, because obviously in a world where there is a huge amount of wine writing, a lot of wine journalism in the UK is incredibly good and incredibly informative. But, you know, if your average consumer is perhaps a bit above their head, and, you know, is the palate of a highly trained wine journalist actually the same as the palate of someone who just enjoys a bottle of wine a week or whatever it needs to be? And so we thought, well, what better way than to try and recruit our own personal wine critic from one of our customers? And so whoever comes up with the most original and most creative and witty, funny tasting note for this particular wine, we will then appoint as our wine critic, and they will review every single new wine that comes on our website for the next 3 months.
Outstanding. So you can keep this going all year, get people involved in your blogs, get people involved in your website, and let everyone just have a good time with it.
Absolutely. I mean, the idea is to then we will then repeat this every 3 months, basically, and try and appoint a new critic and get more people involved and hopefully become a bit of a sort of following that this is, you know, something that a place where people can come and read about wine that's been written about by, you know, real people, if you like, I suppose, in that respect, you know, other people that are just enjoying the wine and they're not taking it too seriously or trying to overanalyze it in any such way.
Well, now, how many people are coming to you with descriptions that Robeson would have written or that, you know, something that's very, very technical? What, give me an idea of the gamut of applications and entries you're getting.
It's quite hard to put me on the spot. The best thing to do is if you go onto the Find Wine fan page on Facebook, that's where all the applications are being posted. So you can begin to sort of get a bit of an idea. There's just been a few entries so far, because all the wine got sent out just last week. But some really nice original sort of things. You know, we were trying to encourage people to use language that isn't necessarily associated with wine, trying to, you know, form descriptions that aren't necessarily just, you know, it's fruity or it tastes like red currants or the typical kind of wine phrases, and really try and look at it in a different way and be quite creative about it. And there's been a whole range of different things from the completely sort of ridiculous and quite silly to actually being sort of quite and to the point. And I think we've got some, you know, future top wine writers amongst us.
Now, which do you prefer, though, ultimately, as you're going to judge which one has the best submission? It seems like ridiculous, funny, and silly really can captivate people and get them more involved in wine. Yes or no?
Yeah, I think as long as it's, you know, it makes it accessible and it obviously has a point and it has a meaning to it, I think, you know, the more you can look at wine in a different way and make it relevant to someone else's life that isn't just about identifying flavors that no one actually quite knows exactly what they are. As long as you can make the comparisons with the wine and however you're describing it relevant to someone, then I'd much prefer something like that. And if it makes you laugh, then even better, because you remember it and you think, that's going to taste pretty good.
Oh, at some point, yes, you should hope so. But that actually leads to something we were discussing earlier on the show today. Now, it may just be a terminology thing between the UK and the United States, but when you send out an all call for a wine critic, what happens? What if someone absolutely despises the wine and does not like it? When they write that, is that something you're anticipating? Are you looking forward to having fun with that? Is that something that you're expecting someone to do? Or how do y'all react to that?
I think we want people to be as honest as possible about the wines. I mean, it may be that there are tastes and preferences in the world. So, you know, there, some people will love a Riesling, others will absolutely hate a Riesling. And I'd encourage someone to be completely honest with it. I mean, one of the big things that we try and promote with Find Wine is that it's all about drinking wine that you actually enjoy. And if you like drinking, you know, $4.99 Australian wine, then fantastic. And if you like drinking, you know, seriously expensive French wine, then that's great too. It's as long as you are enjoying what you like, that's the main thing. And if you want to be honest and say, look, this is not for me, and as long as you give a good reason as to why it's not for you, then I'm happy to have those reviews on our website.
Well, that's what we like. Hey, Mike, if you don't mind, we're going to take a small break right here. If you'll hang out with us, we'll pick this up after this small commercial intermission.
Sure.
All right.
For pictures, videos, show recaps, and more, become a fan of Wine Crush Radio Group on Facebook.
GE Direct is a great source to help you get out of high credit card debt. When you call the number I'm about to give you, here's what you can expect. You'll speak with personally screened, we call them debt counselors. Their job is to listen to you, but be prepared to tell them your entire debt picture. We want to know who you owe and how much you owe. Then we'll talk with you about how much you can afford monthly to pay off your bills. And finally, we'll give advice on how you can pay off your bills and be debt-free in about 3 years. If you're serious about getting out of debt, call this number right now. 800-917-1329. 800-917-1329. A free 15-minute call could change your life. 800-917-1329. 800-917-1329. That's 800-917-1329.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-727-8614.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-727-8614. That's 1-800-727-8614.
Mozart toasties are so very great. Kids rejoice when Mozart's on their plate.
They know they're quite nutritious
and so delicious.
They'll lick the dishes
and soon you'll realize how impactful your kids involvement in the arts can be. Make more friends and express their individuality. When they learn to play some music, act or paint or dance or write creatively.
Hot from the toaster and filled with the essential creative thinking skills of an 18th century musical genius, Mozart Toasties are an important part of an arts-healthy childhood. Studies show that involvement in the arts helps kids increase test scores and promotes academic achievement. Feed your kids the arts. For 10 simple ways to learn how, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. The arts. Ask for more. Brought to you by Americans for the Arts, the NAMM Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Red, red wine, go to my head.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. Right now, we are having a conversation with Mr. Mike Howes from the founder of FindWine.com UK. Mike, are you still with us?
I'm still here, yep.
You'll have to bear with us. We did our own contest here at the Wine Crush, and we reached out to all of our listeners and asked them to submit songs that had wine in them or something that was their favorites. And our producer, Kent, who you had a chance to talk to, has gone through and sifted through all the songs and all the music we got back. I think he has tried to find the most depressing wine songs that we got submitted and are using them as bumpers.
No, I think what you're finding is, Mike, people make it, wine makes people mellow, and so they write mellow songs. They're like Neil Diamond. But who doesn't like Neil Diamond? Come on.
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. You look for that sort of song. It's nice sort of good background wine drinking music.
Yes.
Yes, apparently everyone else is more refined than we are. Fair enough. Well, Mike, I'm pulling up your Facebook account now. It looks like people are having a lot of fun with it. But one question I didn't get to ask you before the break. You said this was going to be an ongoing contest with picking out wines and having people critique and review it. How are you selecting the wines you are going to use as a review base?
As I mentioned before, with Find Wine, we're always looking for interesting, unusual wines, or especially good value wines, or wines with a slightly more interesting story behind them. And what we will look for in terms of wines to review are the ones that we think are particularly interesting or particularly good, and allow people to try them. They might be wines that our customers wouldn't necessarily pick, and so in order for us to send them out for free, they tend to be quite happy to receive a free bottle of wine. So it's a good way to spread the word a little bit and get them to invite their friends over, try these wines as well, and experiment with them and try these things that they wouldn't necessarily drink every day.
Well, it's always nice to get people to break outside the box. I do have to ask this question, since we are based in the United States. Have you picked out any kind of wine from the United States to use yet?
We haven't, unfortunately. No, not at the moment. This is the first time we've run the competition, and we've gone for actually quite a safe bet at the moment, which is an Australian Shiraz, but it's actually a phenomenally good one, and sort of quite interesting, and it could spark quite a lot of conversation, we hope, about it. But as yet, no, we haven't picked a U.S. wine, but possibly next time.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed. Perhaps you and I can stay in touch, and that way we can give you some suggestions here from the Crush.
That would be fantastic. I mean, we're always looking for interesting things. So if anybody out there does have any particularly favorite American wines that they think we should be trying, then very, very happy to receive some input.
Well, for our listeners, where can they find you if they want to get involved in this, and even if it's a critic from overseas, or if they want to see what's going on and how you're reviewing wines, where can they find you on besides Facebook?
Well, if they go onto our website, which is findwine.co.uk, that's obviously the hub of everything. Our blog there contains quite a bit of information about what we're doing, and we'll keep everyone updated with what's going on with our wine critics and who's going to win the competition. And then hopefully the winning critic will start writing some blogs for us as well. So they'll hopefully get a bit of information about that. But we Twitter all the time. We're Find Wine UK, is our Twitter account. And so you can follow what we're up to day to day and listen to which wines I'm drinking and what I'm talking about and what's generally going on with our business.
Well, and of course, we will have the link to everything that you are doing on the Wine Crush website. Now, the question I'm sure that's on everyone's mind who is listening to this is, what gives you the wherewithal and what gives you the right to pick the winner? What's your wine background that you know this much about wine that you can select a critic?
Well, I think actually it's not necessarily having a huge amount of knowledge about wine to select a critic. It's more selecting someone who's got a writing style that is appealing to people. I mean, being on Facebook, it gives people the ability to like it and to share it and to comment on what other people are saying. And I think what we're really looking for is someone who's actually going to spark that sort of conversation. So it isn't necessarily about the person who displays the best wine knowledge or about the person that can talk most in depth about the wine. It's almost the opposite. It's the person that can really connect with someone else who's interested in buying wine on their level and make it sound interesting to them. It's not being too complicated and over the top. It's just being to the point and interesting. And that's what we're really looking for. So I will obviously read through all the entries and make a bit of a selection, but definitely get some input from other customers and try and encourage our customers to comment on it and talk about it and see what the sort of general consensus is.
Well, see, I know it's refreshing for me to hear, and I'm sure my listeners are going to agree with this, somewhere along the lines, the United States, the wine people, we're thought of as the upstarts. And any time that we talk to someone from France, from Italy, from Germany, from the UK, we always have this idea that the UK is more stuffy. It's more laid back, that, you know, not laid back, they are more sincere in their wine knowledge. So it's nice to know that across the pond, you have the same problem that we do as far as trying to get wine done on a day-in, day-out level, that the people who sit and talk ad nauseum over and over again about how much they know about wine, that it tastes like saddled pony, that it has this great dirt component, that it was grown in shale. It's nice to know that that bothers you too.
Absolutely. I mean, it was one of the big sort of things when we started this company about a year ago. We sat down and said, right, all the wine descriptions we're going to write are not going to involve any of those sort of words. You know, we want it to be as easy for people to get as possible. We don't want to be over the top. We don't even particularly talk about country or grape variety too much. It's all about style, and it's all about what people understand. Because I think one of the big problems that a lot of, especially wine websites, face is the fact that, you know, if you go on, they often require a certain amount of knowledge in order to buy what you're looking for. If, for example, if you go on the typical wine website, the first thing you need to decide is, okay, which country are you going to look in, or which grape variety are you going to look for? And actually, it just means that that's doing is channeling your preconceptions about countries or grapes all the time. So it's very difficult for customers to branch out. Whereas everything we're trying to do is making it, you know, giving a really simple selection and not really focus too much on country or grape. You know, information is obviously there for people who are interested, but it's trying to encourage people to try things that they wouldn't necessarily pick off the shelf or they wouldn't necessarily select on a website. And that's what we're really all about and what we're really trying to encourage our customers to get involved with.
Well, I think it's outstanding, and it's nice to know we still have brothers in arms across the sea that we're all working towards the same goal. Well, Mike, thank you very much for being part of the Wine Crush today. I will definitely be checking out, and who knows, I may be submitting my own little critique just to see what happens.
Great stuff. Thanks very much.
All right, take care. Hey, we're going to take a small break here on The Crush, but when we return, we will wrap this show up, take an analysis on what a critic is, and of course, get some of your feedback and see what you thought.
Need a wine recommendation for a party? Want Laura to address something on the show? Email her at lauralawson@winecrush.com.
Term life insurance. It can be a powerful way to protect your assets and your family. You work hard to earn and save your money to build a nest egg for the future. Don't let it get wiped out because you didn't plan ahead. Take the time now and make a small investment in $500,000 or more in quality term life insurance. Call the Term Lifeline and let us shop the best companies to give you the lowest rates. We specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. Ask about some of our 10 and 20-year fixed rate plans with guaranteed rates. Call the Term Lifeline right now for your free insurance quote. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM. You owe it to yourself to protect your family and your assets. Make term life insurance part of that plan. Call the Term Lifeline right now. 866-509-TERM. 866-509-TERM.
If you have high credit card balances and other unsecured debt, including medical bills and various personal loans, please listen to this free consumer alert from the CESI Debt Helpline. You can take control of your debt, but you need our help. Our partner companies negotiate millions of dollars in debt with the large credit card companies every month. We save our customers thousands of dollars in debt. These special programs do not offer loans, and debt reduction does not work on student, auto, or home loans. Call today and see how much we can save you. As a free consumer service, the first 100 people that call in right now will receive a free debt analysis. Learn how you can reduce your debt today with this free call.
Call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-948-6815. 800-948-6815. That's 800-948-6815. 6815.
Have you ever dreamed of being a karate master? Well, stop dreaming and start chopping with the Karate Glove.
Hi, my name's Molly, inventor of the Karate Glove, and I have just 1.5 words for you. Ayah!
The Karate Glove chops through anything. Just put it on and instantly chop through wood. Hi-hi. Concrete. Hi-yah! Brick walls. Hi-yah! Trees. Hi-yah! small cars. It can even chomp through these 8 guitars. It chops things.
If I can invent a karate glove, just imagine what you can do. Visit inventnow.org to get started on your invention. Anything's possible. Keep thinking.
Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's hi-ya time!
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson. A very special thank you goes out to Mike Howe, finewine.com UK, for reaching out to us and telling us about his great contest. But most importantly, I want everyone to take, I'm so happy it actually worked how I thought it was going to work, what Mike talked about as far as a critic goes and as far as the attitudes he's looking at as a retailer over in the UK. First of all, what he's looking for in a critic is someone who can speak outside the box. They don't want the descriptors. They don't want you to say it tastes like fruit, it tastes like acid, it tastes like balance. Most people today, whether it's on this side of the pond, whether it's in Italy, whether it's in Germany, the old steadfast are falling away. People want to talk about style. They want to talk about what a wine does for them. It's not necessarily that it tastes like pear. It's not that it tastes like apple. It's not like it has a tannin structure. But what is the style? What is the mouthfeel? What is it going to pair well with? What am I going to enjoy? So it does not matter what a critic thinks as far as its flavor profile, its content, but where is this going to fit in my day-to-day life? Where is this going to fit in my lifestyle? And so it's wonderful to know that a critic is not, yes, I like this product, no, I don't. It's more along the lines of finding descriptors that everyday wine drinkers can appreciate. Yes, I know, we talk forever about having a critic you can follow, whether it's Loewe or Kramer or Parker, but if you can find someone fresh, something innovating, like what Fine Wine is doing, where they are doing something that defines a style that you can follow along with and agree to disagree, then that is absolutely wonderful. The second thing I wanted to take from that is it doesn't matter what country you're in, it doesn't matter what county you're in, and I especially had this hit over the head with me as I was in the West Coast, it doesn't matter what state you're in or coast you're on, everybody is in the same boat when it comes to wine. Yes, there are some of those out there that will always know more about wine, but it's you, the everyday drinker who is just now learning, that the rest of us are trying to catch up with and the rest of us are appealing to. So keep that in mind. Knowledge may be power, but telling everyone what you like, that's where the real weight and the heavyweight part of it is. Well, I hope you've enjoyed today's Crush. As always, we are reminding you to sip socially, to drink responsibly, to drink what you like, not what you're told, but most importantly, in vino veritas, in wine, there's truth. I'm Laura Lawson, and I'll talk with you next week.